The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking To You, originally recorded and broadcast on Monday, March the 17th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled You've Heard It All Before. And the time is 7:48 a.m. here in London, making it 3:48 on the east coast of America and 12:48 on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. And today's show title, You've Heard It All Before, relates to quite a lot of news articles I've got for you. I had about 17 or so. I had to whittle them down because, of course, I've not done this show since Saturday, so I've had 2 days' worth of news instead of one to deal with. And other things that I'm going to mention that you're going to have heard me talk about before. Starting off with being a targeted individual. Now, the way that targeted individuals, things happen to them work is they're generally done so they can explain that something was done to them, or it could just be some random event. Now, when I record my show every day, you hear the opening music and the closing music at the start and at the end, respectively. A couple of days ago, I went to record my show and I suddenly saw in the recorder it wasn't picking up the opening music. It was okay picking me up, and I went into it. I thought, what's gone on? And it had been changed to record from a different source. It was only recording from the microphone, not the computer, so it would only get me, but not anything that I played. I thought, that's odd. You know, I've done over 2,500 shows. This has never happened before. And, you know, so I had to stop what I was doing, and fortunately, the first thing that I thought was the problem was the problem. Something like this you could be spending hours on until you find out what the problem is. So I was able to sort it out. Next day, I went to record my show. So it was Friday that first happened. I think then it happened on Saturday as well. Or it was, you know. And so going again, and it's the same thing. Bear in mind, this hasn't happened before at all in the over 2,500 shows that I've done. But this morning, when I went on to record the show, I suddenly started recording and I thought, oh, you know, I should have checked that first, see if it's got knocked out again. But it recorded fine. The difference being is I've not left my apartment since I last had the problem, okay? So that indicates to me someone's been in here and they've changed the source on the recorder that I use. A very quick and easy thing to do. But these are the sort of things that happen to targeted individuals. Something weird like that. You think, it's like that film Gaslight. You're like, well, why would someone bother to do something like that? Because they've got all these, you know, psychiatrists and psychologists that worked on all these sort of things. Well, how can we really affect somebody? You know, these sort of things. Their job is evil. They love it. So I personally believe someone's been in there. If I had to put money on it one way or another, then that's where I would be putting my money. But again, someone might say, well, it could just be a little computer problem that happened 2 days in a row, even though it's never, ever happened before. And some people say, well, they could do it remotely. Well, I think they would have done other things if they could do it remotely. So anyway, let's move on to a couple of things before I get into the shows I've downloaded. First up, a listener to the show kindly sent me a couple of people that he suggested I listen to. One of them was Dollar Vigilante on Rumble.com. And I was listening to that show, and it was quite an entertaining show, I thought. And then it gets to the last bit, and this guy is literally, it's like a different show bolted on the end. He spends about 10, 15 minutes talking about some Tesla lamp, and how, we've got all these reviews, it literally brings people back from the dead. Do you know what I mean? It's one of these sort of, like a medbed nonsense. And then he comes out, there's a little community of us, it's $11,000. And I'm like, what? And I got back to the guy who emailed me about it. I said, look, dude, thanks for sending this over, but I will not listen to this person ever again. Because that's just a giant grift. And you see, it's very difficult to make money in the independent media. I'm always asking for donations. I hardly get any in. At some point, the show's going to end as a result if it's not supported. I've mentioned that before. I'm not going to keep saying it. If I can't get the support, it's off, because I have to get money elsewhere. So if you want it to stay on, then support the show. The button's there for you. It can't be simpler, okay? But I know organisations I've been involved with in the past, and they don't make much money in what they do. But they, instead, they go to their subscribers and they try and get them to leave money in their wills, and that is how they survive. And there are also some people out there that can literally keep a show on the air because they do have a lot of money, and they can suddenly, they'll hear something like, £11,000 for something that can do all this thing to my health, and they'll be like, well, that's not a lot of money to me, so I can buy that, and even if it don't work. So, you know, that sort of thing might work. I'd be extremely surprised if it did. But again, for me, with my experience listening to the independent media, which I've been doing for over 25 years, as far as I'm concerned, that was a giant grift. And I was so offended by it. That's the sort of thing that offends me. It offends me to hear people promoting something as ridiculous as a satellite phone store. Well, I'm not going to go there again, but to me, the indignity of doing that, this person, anyone that would promote something like that, have got no self-respect. They've got no dignity. They'd be quite happy walking around trying to go door to door selling you double glazing. That's the sort of level someone like that has reached in their life, to be prepared to hawk something like that, in my opinion. And that's why I can't trust a person like that. In the same way, someone like this that puts a good show together and then spends 10, 15 minutes at the end going through this nonsense is someone, don't trust you, dude. Bye. I'm out of here. Okay, and something else that I've been trying to download this for the last 5 or 6 weeks. I think he's only been on one in the last 5 or 6 of his regular shows. And that is Robert Ravel on Republic Broadcasting. Now, this is a very difficult topic to address, folks. So I'm going to try and do it in the most diplomatic way possible, because this is the sort of thing that just by raising it, I could be labelled the bad guy. Now, I've spoken to Robert once, I had him on the show on the 24th of March 2021. So what's that, 4 years and a week ago. And I had him on then because his show was one of my favourite shows. I remember it took me a long while to get him. So I've been listening to this guy for at least 4 years, probably many, many more years than that. Every Monday morning, on my computer, go over to republicbroadcastingarchives.org, download his show. As I say, the last 5 or 6 shows, he's only appeared on once, and he has had a guest host at other times. Now, one thing that Marky Smith of the band The Fall said when he kept changing his lineup was, if you've got me and you've got your granny on bongo drums, you've got The Fall. Well, with this show, ACH, if you've got me, you've got the show. I've never put a show out with a guest host, because when I go somewhere and I download it with a guest host, even if it's someone that I like, I don't tend to listen to it, because I'm like, well, that's not the show that I've downloaded. I downloaded to have that person on. Now, obviously, something is going on. Now, if this guy has got a personal problem, he's got a family member with a problem, someone close to him, and, you know, he could come out next time he's on the air and say, oh, you know, this guy's complaining about my show. I don't charge for it. I don't ask for donations like this guy, blah, 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 blah. But he's chosen to do it the way he has. He had one guest on, Sean Surplus in Australia, who said that Robert Ravolt was dealing with someone close to him who'd been damaged by this poison fog. But I don't recall him mentioning it at all when he was on, and he had been on since Sean Surplus guest hosted for him. So I'm not sure what's going on. My approach has always been, as I can evidence, I've not missed any shows this year, apart from one in which I did a pre-record about Kolchak the Night Stalker, and I informed people the days before the show. I didn't say it on the show itself because I wanted that to be a standalone show about Kolchak the Night Stalker. Just that I was away from my recording equipment for 2 days at my mum's house rather than one, so I couldn't record and broadcast on the same day because I wouldn't be here. I had to be somewhere else, and the idea was to record a show and put it up early. So I choose to let people know if I cannot do the show. Other people choose to do it another way. So that's all I'm going to say on the matter, and let's move on to what I have downloaded. Now, one thing that I've always liked doing, I feel a duty, if you like, and that is to check out any new shows that I'm made aware of. I always say to people on the air, for example, I mentioned this Dollar Vigilante early on. This only happened because I've said on this show, if you're aware of any new shows, any shows I don't mention that you think are worth listening to, please email me at andrewcarringtonhitchcock@hotmail.com and I'll give them a listen. And somebody did, and I gave it a listen and I reported back. And sometimes I spot them myself, as I did when I was on republicbroadcastingarchives.org earlier. I found this show, Al's Corner with Al Crutcher. No, with Alan Crutcher. Al's Corner with Alan Crutcher. Bit of a tongue twister there. So I downloaded it. It's an hour show. I've not heard of that show before. I've not heard of that presenter before. He might have been somewhere else. I might have missed him, stuff like that. But it's new to me. And so therefore, I am going to give it a listen. And hopefully it's going to be something good and it'll give me something extra to listen to each week. And the other thing that I've been finding interesting is I downloaded is the Victor Hugo at bitchute.com. He does a lot of shows with The Last Dutchman, and they're my favourite shows that he does. He's not going to warn you if he uses profanity or other language that might offend, but that's his prerogative. He's not a show like this one where it's not something that he has to do. Do you see what I mean? You expect you're going to get whatever. He does a little disclaimer that actually tells you he's not going to be politically correct. So you do get the warning, in fairness, at the start. He does the same. When people do the same disclaimer at the start like I do and he does, not the same as each other, but we read out the same script at the start of each show, then a lot of people will fast forward through that anyway and just start off with the show. They probably know, for example, that my intro last 1 minute 22 seconds, so they just download the show, bump it forward, and then start listening. But it's just to let you know, to cover me as well, because the next thing that they're going to do is they're going to say, oh, you mentioned the show and it had this that people find offensive and that people find offensive in it, and they'll try and get me on that. They'll try anything. As I say, they'll obviously don't want the show in the air, as I reasons I made clear at the start of the show that I'm not going to get back to. So anyway, they're a couple of most recent shows he did. They're not labelled up as The Last Dutchman, either of them, unfortunately, but I think they're a couple of the most recent shows. You're just going to have to go in, hit play and listen to the intro, and then he'll tell you who he has on, and there you go. So the other thing that you always look out for at a weekend, again, there used to be a guy on Republic Broadcasting called Farron Schoaf, who I never got to have on my show. He was really tried to get him. But that was a Saturday morning show, and that was brilliant. And that was replaced by Thought Crime Live with Stephen Douglas Whitener. And it was very similar to Robert Revolt's show. You could see this guy spent all week getting his articles together, what have you, broadcast them on the Saturday. And he went, and there's very few of these weekend sum-up shows I'm aware of. So again, you know the address to send me any links that may be worth a listen. But one that's come along recently is the Eyes is Watching show, which, excuse me, oh dear, you can find at bitchute.com. Eyes is Watching, all one word, without the G on the end. And this guy, Steve Eyes, is really good. He puts a hell of a lot of work into his show. It's one of my favourite shows of the week that I look forward to. Sometimes he misses a week, but he was on this week. I heard it yesterday. I downloaded it. It was called The Golden Age of Deception, Syrian Slaughter, and Future Bioweapons. And the previous week's show, I remember being good as well. But if you you know, go over there and you can, he's also got an Odyssey channel as well, same name. So go over there and give that a listen if you feel so inclined. It's certainly part of my essential weekly listening. Okay, so that being said, is that everything that I wanted to cover? I think so. There's probably bits that I had in my mind that I haven't written down that I'll kick myself later. But let me close that window down so I know that I've done that. Let's move on to see how the news has developed since I recorded last, well, the show on Saturday even. So let's go over to, oh, I need to close that. Sorry, here we are. Okay, it's all Daily Mail stories just for a change. Exclusive, number of over 65s heading to A&E soared by 90,000 after Labour stripped winter fuel payments from millions of pensioners. Well, for me, that's job done then. You know, that for me, that's what they want. We saw the way that old people were dealt with COVID. It was almost like, let's move sick people into these homes, stuff like that, that they wanted them to die. Well, we know that they want all our traditions to die. And that anyone that could still remember this country when it wasn't under such a tyrannical rule as it is today, they don't want these people around to tell young people what life used to be like when you had some semblance of freedom in the country. That's my opinion on that article. And next we've got Tucker Carlson believes InfoWars reporter may have been assassinated by Ukraine and reveals which US leader could be next. So basically, we touched on this. The guy, Jamie White, who the authorities said was the victim of a mugging, but Carlson's now said that he thinks this guy was actually... Well, it's not just Carlson. He had this Douglas McGregor, is it on? And this Jamie White was apparently very outspoken, and he believes it could have put him in the crosshairs of Ukraine's shadowy intelligence services, namely the SBU. And it still says that the Austin police have not confirmed any link to the Ukraine, and even White's own family says they don't believe he was targeted for his work. Alex Jones disagrees. Well, again, Alex Jones will make a story out of anything because that's his job. All right. So maybe he genuinely disagrees, but he's not going to let a good story go to waste, in my opinion. I could be wrong. Let's hear what he has to say. It could have been a hit. It could have been a hit, Jones said earlier this week. We need to investigate. This is a journalist that has been killed. It should be investigated. I think Pam Bondi, the United States Attorney General, should look into it. Yeah, Pam Bondi. I call her Pam Bondage because she's in bondage to Israel. Okay, so, and I think that the leader that they said could be hit, the trouble with Daily Mail article, they put all these stupid pictures in it that, you know, it is very difficult to find. I'm pretty sure, yeah, here it is, that the leader is Trump that they think could be hit next because Trump said some things about Ukraine that they had that little spat with Zelensky that many people in the independent media said looked completely scripted. So make of that what you will. Let's move on to next article. Man accuses Waitrose of treating him like a criminal as he faces the sack from the supermarket over 30 tweets, including cartoon mocking trans ideology. Now, Waitrose is one of the major woke supermarkets out there. Okay. Unfortunately for this guy, what happened was he sent a tweet, and it was quite that was actually retweeted by Elon Musk. So what he did, it says he gained widespread recognition when ex-owner Elon Musk retweeted one of his tweets, which said, "Raise your hand if you want a national inquiry into the grooming rape gang scandal." And Musk's retweet was seen by 63 million people and propelled this guy's account into the limelight. Consequently, he was doxxed, as it were, and let's get this guy, let's lose him his job. There was even a phone call made with a death threat that the police say they investigated and couldn't find any suspects. Well, that sounds very convenient to me, a bit like when Alison Chablow was being persecuted on Twitter. They couldn't, and sent the most vile messages and threats of goodness knows what else. Oh, the police couldn't find any of them. And she was even told at one point that the policeman dealing with it had left. So therefore, that wasn't being dealt with, which is complete nonsense. Because I've had to deal in the past with police officers that have left, not necessarily the force. They might be, you know, moved to a completely another part of the force or another role in the force or something like that. And you get handed on their crap and you have to finish it all off, which is a real pain because you didn't start it and you've got to start the whole thing again and finish it. You don't just say, oh, someone's left, so their cases aren't being investigated. It's just lies. But anyway, there you go. That's my view on that article. Let's move on to Wes Streeting says doctors are overdiagnosing mental health conditions as Labour tries to get a grip on Britain's ballooning benefits bill. Well, again, this, oh, you know, you're not feeling good. Oh, there's no shame in saying you're mentally ill instead of saying, look, we all have problems, dude. You just got to get on with it. Of course, the op to make people weak and go on to medications and it's not my fault I'm having problems, that was an operation. That operation has now ended. And so whatever it was designed to do has been achieved. And now they need to say, right, you know, you've just got to, you know, they're overdiagnosing mental health because we can't afford all these benefits. You see, that's the way it works. In the same way I say wars work. Ceasefires happen when the objectives of the war have been achieved. And same here. This is a war. It's just a war on the people of the respective country by the government, which is what happens in every country. Your government is at war with you, the people. Embarrassed judge apologises to machete suspect as he admits court logjam will delay his hearing for 3 years. But it's actually 3.5 years. So we've got a guy who was charged with a fray and threatening a person with an offensive weapon in a public place. But because the courts are so backed up in the UK, he's got a trial date of October the 16th of 2028. So he's going to be on bail until then. But again, can you see how this could work in another way? If they wanted to shut someone up, they could, well, I don't know if they could do this, but if they wanted to, they'll do whatever they want. Do you know what I mean? But they could say, oh, well, this, they could take someone and say the offence is so serious that we can't offer him bail and we can't give him a court date because the court's backed up, so he's going to be remanded for that length of time. That's very possible as well. This could be some little trick that they've got up their sleeve to round up people who say things that they don't like. So do watch this space, folks. It's very possible. Next, Shakespeare's birthplace to be decolonised over fears his success benefits the ideology of white European supremacy. I'm not even going to get into this. You can type it in yourself. Shakespeare's birthplace to be decolonised over fears his success benefits the ideology of white European supremacy. And it's the usual garbage from the usual people that spout such garbage. And now get this. We all know that the royal family of a bunch of perverts, and not just the royal family, but the elites in general. Just, I don't know if you can still find them, but Google these Rothschild party photos from the 1970s. They were doing the rounds a while ago. They've probably been swept up now by the internet, but they might be out there. You might find them. Get this headline. Prince Philip's married uncle was involved in an incestuous relationship with his own uncle, as remarkable details of family love triangle emerge, writes royal author Christopher Wilson. So that's as far as I'm prepared to delve into that one. And then, you remember we were talking about that Snow White remake, which is the apparently the wokest thing that Disney have done, allegedly. Headline, little people to rally outside Disney Studios in protest of Snow White remake amid outrage over decision to replace titular dwarves with CGI to avoid reinforcing stereotypes. So here we've got a lot of these little people. Are you allowed to call them dwarves? I mean, terminology changes so often, you don't know what you can and can't say anymore. It's quite ludicrous. But we'll call them little people. One of them, Ali Chapman, who's 50 years old and is 3'8" tall. She said the whole point of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is right up there in the title. The Seven Dwarfs were the stars of the original 1937 film, which is a classic loved by millions of people. Disney has made a live-action film, and instead of giving seven talented little people the chance to shine, they've scrapped us completely and used CGI instead. It's a total travesty, and there are a lot of angry little people, actors and actresses out there. People are flying in from all over the world to tell Disney this isn't acceptable. Well, good on them. I totally support that. So there you go. Let's move on to listeners slate. BBC over decision to have the Archers Linda Snell fast for Ramadan in run-up to Lent. Now, the Archers is like a soap opera, but it's a radio show soap opera. And it's been going, I think, for about 70 years. I've never listened to it. It's not something that interests me, but it has people that tune in. I don't know if it's on once a week, whatever. It tells the story of everyday country folk, apparently. But what they've done, this is BBC, of course, is that they've got a regular member of the cast who, in order to support her local MP, her local GP, her local doctor, that is, and his family, she's going to fast throughout Ramadan to support him. And so they've been branded as woke. Well, we all know the BBC is woke. And the term woke is very interesting to me. It's more theft from us, because we've been saying for years for people to wake up to what's going on. And the enemy know this. So what the enemy do is they say, oh, can we steal their term? We don't just want it. We want to steal it. It makes us look powerful. We can take their term and turn it into the opposite. This is one of their little psychological tactics of the enemy, and that's why they use that word. It's nothing to do with, you know, waking up. It's waking up to who this enemy is and what they're doing. So anyway, let's move on to. This is a really quick article. It's probably the shortest article I've ever seen in the Daily Mail. So I'm going to read it all to you. Bible sales soar 87% within 5 years, thanks largely to newfound spirituality amongst Gen Z. Would you, Adam and Eve, it? Bible sales are rocketing thanks to Generation Z's growing sense of spirituality. Revenue from sales in Britain grew by 87% between 2019 and 2024, from 2.6 million to more than 5 million, and experts claim much of this is down to those born between 1997 and 2012. Dr. Michael Nazir Ali, the former Anglican Bishop of Rochester, who converted to Catholicism, said Generation Z has got over that hump of the baby boomers in the 60s who were rejecting Christianity. They are open to spirituality and quite open to the figure of Jesus. A lot are coming for confirmation and young adults are being baptised. The sales boost was revealed by the Christian publisher SPCK. Chief Executive Sam Richardson said, Gen Z are far less likely to identify as atheists than their parents. The trend coincides with other evidence of growing spirituality in young people. While 25% of Gen Z born between 1965 and 1980 identify as atheists, only 20% of millennials do, those born between 1981 and 1996, and 13% of Gen Z. Okay, so that is the whole article. And is it worth seeing if there's any comments on it? Let's see the top rated, shall we? So the top rated, which had 195 upvotes and 38 downvotes, it says, this is hardly surprising. Given the total lack of global leadership, and especially in our own country, where can we place our hope and faith in? The Holy Bible and Christianity will provide us with all the guidance, faith and hope necessary to navigate our lives today. There you go. So let's move on to only around 1 in 200 criminals are sent to prison, new figures reveal, and some with 50 convictions have been spared prison 50,000 times since 2017. Now, I wasn't aware that Sven Longshanks, a.k.a. James Allchurch, or Sam Melia, or many other people that were arrested for their speech and jailed, like Graham Hart, I'm not aware that they had any previous convictions, but yet they go to prison. However, some people with 50 previous convictions, or rather have been spared prison 50,000 times since 2017. Sounds like there's a certain group of people they want to lock up, doesn't it? A group of people that say things that the government don't like, rather than people who have been convicted time and time and time and time and time again, and obviously represent a threat to the public, because they've had all these convictions and then they keep committing crime. Doesn't bother them. So surely they're more of a threat to the public. But people aren't in prison because they're a threat to the public. Unless what they do is so egregious that if the court didn't jail them, they risk an uprising from the public. That's other people that they're all like, oh, we'll put them in jail then, because we don't want to deal with the fallout. The jails are there to lock up the people that the government are scared of. That's the job. Okay, let's move on to, the last headline. Remember I was telling you a while ago that multi-storey car parks have reported that they were having structural problems because electric vehicles are very heavy and the car parks weren't built to sustain that weight. Well, get this. Electric cars are too heavy for Britain's motorways. They could smash through outdated barriers, the government are warned. And it says here, quote one line, electric cars can weigh up to twice as much due to their hefty batteries. But again, all this would have been known before they were released, stuff like that. But it's more important to the elites that you have something that we can control than something that we can't. So it doesn't matter if you have to replace all your barriers. It doesn't matter if you have to rebuild all your car parks. It doesn't matter if these things can just catch fire like that and it needs specialist equipment to put them out. But you can't just use water. You've got none of that matters. What matters is the elites get what they want. And that is the ability to turn your car off at will. Or maybe even worse, get control of it. All right? And anything else, that's out the window. So this should show how deep this rot is set now and how much control these people have. These people that Jesus Christ told us were the synagogue of Satan in the book of Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, and they are going to be the people that wreak the most havoc this planet has ever seen on the planet before Jesus Christ's final return, because it's only his return that's going to actually be able to deal with these people, because they've just got too much power now. And if you speak out too loudly, you won't be speaking again, because they'll either lock you up or kill you. Simple as that. Okay, so let's see what's going on. Excuse me, I'm just going to have a drink of water. In the mainstream media right now. So we'll start off with APnews.com, Associated Press. Trump says he will talk to Putin on Tuesday as he pushes for end to Ukraine war. That is the top story. Canada's carney to meet with European allies as tension with the Trump administration persists. That's something else there. Macron says French-British blueprint doesn't foresee deploying a mass of soldiers in Ukraine. Sorry, that was something on my chair. Okay, let's go over to BBC News and look at the top 10 red stories at the moment. So just scrolling down there, I'll give you the headlines. Number 10. Poorest children missing more school and further behind after COVID. Number 9, £100,000 home insurance quote leaves couple baffled. Number 8, lies Doucette, symbols and substance in Canadian leader's first foreign visit. Visits, no idea what that means. Number 7, small electric cars were said to be the future, but SUVs now rule the road. Number 6, everything is finished. Ukrainian troops relive retreat from Kursk. Number 5, PM faces pressure over benefits system shake-up. Number 4, Faisal Islam, Labour's plan for the broken welfare system throws up a bigger dilemma. Number 3, Geordie Joy and Labour's war of words. I'm going to comment on that one. We have a football team in this country, soccer team, called Newcastle United. Now, they've been a very big side, and they came close. They were something like 11 or 12 points clear when Kevin Keegan was manager in the 1990s. And they famously squandered this huge lead they had in the Premier League, and Manchester United ended up winning it that year. It was a disaster. And they've had all sorts of... One of the best players we ever had Alan Shearer, he was sold to Newcastle. They've never won anything apart from some obscure cup that, you know, Crystal Palace have even won the obscure cup. They're something that's never won anything of note. So they haven't won a major trophy since 1955. But yesterday, that changed. They faced Liverpool at Wembley Stadium in the, used to be called the League Cup, but whoever sponsors it, one time it was called the Milk Cup. It was called the Coca-Cola Cup, and I don't know what it's called today, but it's one of the two domestic cup competitions, the other being the FA Cup, which is more prestigious, that is held every year in the UK. And they beat Liverpool, who are themselves about 12, 13 points clear, something like that, in the Premier League at the moment. And they beat them at Wembley, and they won their first cup for 70 years. The last one was in 1955. So I was really pleased to see that. It's nice to see them actually get something with all the effort that they've put into that club. Okay, number two, shut vile death video site, families say, as Ofcom gets new powers. And number one, the giant mega shed that has left neighbours in tears. So that's BBC News for you. Let's see what's going on at the Daily Mail. Spanish anti-tourism protesters promise a summer of misery for holidaymakers. Radicals have already started blocking beauty spots and are holding international summit on tactics. Now, there's something really odd going on here. The British have been known for years for, you know, quite bad behaviour on holiday, and it gets worse. I mean, they were involved in the 80s in such sickening football violence that, you know, things like Heysel, where some football fans knocked over a wall and killed a load of the other fan supporters. You know, really horrible stuff. And they've been banned from football competitions, stuff like that. But a lot of the British holidaymakers aren't a great deal better. And they think they'll go to Spain and just get drunk and vomit in the street and all this sort of stuff and cause all sorts of problems for the locals. But this has been going on for years and years. However, in the last couple of years, we've had this big thing. I'll give you an example. There's someone in this image I see with a placard. Tourists go home, you are not welcome. They've got one in the middle, even worse. Kill a tourist, it says on a banner here. Or is it graffiti on a wall? And the headline is War on Tourists. So, again, is this organic or is this something else that is being deployed to get people used to not flying, not going away, these sort of things that they want to stop people doing? You can look at that either way. I'm pretty much undecided on it, but I find it very surprising that this stuff didn't come about before, when arguably, you know, if stories that we've covered on here, like in a recent show about more young people now are turning away from drink and they're more interested in keeping fit, if that's true, then that certainly didn't used to be the case. So I would have thought that this problem was more prevalent with tourist bad behaviour a few years ago than it is today. So why wasn't these sort of protests happening a few years ago? I'm very suspicious as to why they'd be happening now. Okay, let's move on to the independent news segment of the show. See what's going on here. US to exit EU-led investigation on Russia. And Washington is set to withdraw from a European campaign aimed at prosecuting alleged aggression, the New York Times newspaper has reported. So we'll move on to... Oh, here's an interesting one. US must return Statue of Liberty to France. That's according to a member of the European Parliament. So you might want to look that up. I imagine that's going to be covered on a variety of other news sources. So let's go to rents.com, see what's going on over on that website. Just scrolling down here. Putin lays it out. Russia is not the enemy. He is 100% correct. So that is the top story on there. And that links to a X.com page called Russia Isn't Enemy. And then the next one down is, it's actually from a Russian website. I can see it's been translated. The EU is heading for war with Russia. So that is kind of the big fear over here. And that would link all these other things that people have been talking about currencies being devalued and all this sort of stuff, all the money being taken out of what allegedly 10 trillion was it taken out of the block or 10 billion or something like that that Hal Turner pointed out and Steve Quayle apparently ran with on a show. We will see, but it's not good times to be in Europe, that's for sure. HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Russia, no NATO for Ukraine or no peace. And then we've got, after US airstrikes, Yemen fires 18 ballistic and cruise missiles at USS Harry Truman aircraft carrier strike ship. And I had a look at that. That was up yesterday, dated March the 16th. And there hasn't been any word as to whether any of these missiles struck any US naval vessels. But they're the sort of people that wouldn't tell you if they did, you know. They don't like think it, oh, it might look bad if we admit that we were hit, that sort of thing. So again, you do something like that and you say, well, that means that you can't be trusted. So anything that you do tell us, US military, we can't trust you because you choose to be dishonest here. Why would we think you're being honest in another case? People just don't work this stuff out. They think they can just lie with impunity. And they get most upset if people then don't believe certain things that they put out. But they are the architects of their own misfortune. There was a, what's that saying about crying wolf? You know, if you keep crying wolf, then, you know, when something actually does happen, no one comes running. Because you've made up crying wolf so many times that you end up being the architect of your own misfortune, as I said. So let's see what's going on up here. There's a new guy that's popped up. I've only heard of him recently. He's called Father James Maudsley. He's got an X.com page. And he's been quite popular in the independent media talking about stuff related to World War II and other things. For example, there's a video at the top of EarthNewspaper.com. Germany did not start World War II. There can be no peace without truth. Well, what I recall from World War II, when you actually look into it, they say that Germany started it because they invaded Poland. What they don't say is that Poland had a load of German citizens in their country and they were just slaughtering them. And they probably scrubbed it from the internet now, but this was widely available, images and all sorts. And Hitler said, look, you can't keep doing this to the German people in Poland, otherwise we're going to have to go in and protect them. Sounds a little bit like what Ukraine were doing to Russian citizens in the areas of the Donbass that were part of the Ukraine. And there was no international condemnation for that. You know, where was Amnesty International when the Ukraine was slaughtering some of its own citizens? 14,000 of them, I think. And also, why did it take Putin 8 years to step in? Sounds like the whole thing was an op, doesn't it? That's what it does to me. Because if you're that bothered about your own people being slaughtered, you step in straight away. You don't wait 8 years. I mean, talk about slow to anger. That's just ridiculous. So, again, this is very similar. But going back to that, that was why he invaded, to protect these people. And then, oh, look, he invaded, so that we can go to war. Very convenient, isn't it? But one thing you've got to bear in mind, England declares war on Germany. You get this big world war because Germany invades Poland. Well, what happened at the end of the war? Who controlled Poland at the end of the war? Soviet Union. So it was okay for the Soviet Union to invade Poland. There wasn't a war on the Soviet Union. No. But when Germany invaded, that was enough for a world war. But when Soviet Union invaded at the end, that was just fine and dandy. Again, be consistent in pointing out their inconsistencies. Let's move on to censored.news. Mike Adams' website. Oh, one other thing. I can't resist this. If you look at some of his recent posts on Health Ranger Report on Brighteon.com, that irritating satellite phone store woman, he actually had her on for a segment. And he doesn't put every segment of his daily show, well, Monday to Friday show, up. He'll take that, or here's a Michael Yon interview, stuff like that, but he won't put necessarily every segment up. He puts the whole show up and then bits of it if people just want to listen to certain bits. But for some strange reason, he thought people want to listen to this woman spouting on. So he put hers up as a separate segment for people to listen to. I don't understand why anybody will want to listen to something like that. But that's as far as I'm going to take censored.news today. So let's finish off with the beforeitsnews.com top 10. And scroll down as this page is loading up, as we wait for the pop-up asking us to subscribe, which is something I think could be very dangerous to your health. Number 10 went up 6 hours ago, 114 people viewing. WTPN situation update, 3/16/25. The military and Trump got them all. Military alliance gears up for 10 days of darkness. I mean, I'm sure I've seen this headline dozens of times, yet this only went up 6 hours ago. Amazing. They certainly don't get bored on beforeitsnews.com, but I do thank them for doing it because it fits in very nicely with today's show title, You've Heard It All Before. Do I lie? Number 9 went up a day ago, 119 people viewing, Dr. Lee Merritt and Kerry Cassidy. They just exposed everything, folks. The House of Cards is falling down. Number 8 went up 2 hours ago, 122 people viewing, Cliff High and Dr. Lee Merritt. Full disclosure, this will change how you see everything. Number 7 went up 9 hours ago, 138 people viewing, Michael Jayco, urgent breaking Elon and mass arrests, secret raids. Yes. Number 6 went up a day ago, 171 people viewing, Wan O'Savin, get ready, a mass casualty event will happen. Number 5 went up 11 hours ago, 189 people viewing, SGNON, emergency broadcast, it's all about to blow up. Number 4 went up 8 hours ago, 212 people viewing, and there is the Join Before It's News pop-up that I'm going to close. New X22 report, Trump drops the next bomb. The final purge has... Sorry. Trump drops the next bomb. The final purge has begun, 2025. Number 3 went up 10 hours ago, 224 people viewing. Night Intel update, Ismael Perez. This is some other person I've never heard of until a week or two ago, and suddenly they're all over Before It's News. Sounds like that Pascal Najardi or something. I haven't heard from him for a while. Maybe that op... failed and they've closed it down and they're setting up a different one. Number 2 went up 13 hours ago, 325 people viewing, many elite and powerful arrested, identified in court. And number 1 went up 12 hours ago, 440 people viewing, America will be painfully reborn. Bo Polney. I imagine it'd be quite painful to listen to that show as well. It always has been with Bo Polney, and he's been interviewed by Greg Hunter as well. So that's one of the shows where I think Greg Hunter wouldn't annoy me due to the amount of times he interrupts the guests, because I think I'd much rather be listening to him than Bo Polney. Anyway, that being said, let's call this one a show. Before we do, I've got Dr. Peter Hammond back with me tomorrow, and so this show will return on Wednesday with 2 days worth of news. The news I get for you this lunchtime and the news I get for you tomorrow lunchtime. So that being said, you have been listening to I'm Talking to You, episode 211, recorded and broadcast Monday, March 17th, 2025, entitled You've Heard It All Before. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'll be back with you all tomorrow, and until then, folks, have a wonderful day, and bye for now.